So we began to look at the name, and I went back to the name 2 weeks ago, and I said about the name, let's go to Psalm 91. Psalm 91, verse 14. Psalm 91, verse 14. Or verse 13. You know, let's look at Psalm 91, verse. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. Now, let's read the next part together. I will set him on high because he has known my name. So, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Righteous run into it and they are safe. That means that if we call upon the name, there is a way it will set us on high and protect us. So, we talked about that one last week. And I said sometimes, when you start using the name of Jesus, you may feel that if I ask in the name of Jesus, it may not be right. It may not be correct. How do I know what to ask for? And I said to us, ask anyway. If it needs to, let's go back to John 14, verse 13. It was so beautiful that I'm going to say it again today before we go further. John 14, 13. Who is there? Okay, a lady. All right, thank you. So can you make it faster for us? Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father will be glorified in the Son. Whatever you ask in my name, so that whatever means whatever. But the problem is that if you say whatever, are you sure it's correct to ask the Lord anything, even if it's wrong? So we read chapter 12, 2 Corinthians. Let's go back there, verse 6. Are we there? 12, verse 6, 2 Corinthians. I think I will need help in that place. That thing is so slow. All my guys are gone to school. So please, bear with us. Is Jerry around? Okay, just please help me. Let's make it faster. Chapter 12, verse 6. Okay. Verse 7. Okay, this is where we read last week. Lest as you be exalted above measure, here was Paul talking. By the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a satanic messenger to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. We read this place last week. It's a contentious place in the Bible. In fact, one pastor was bothering us. He was on our platform and was asking, what's that thorn in the flesh? And I said, can you just read? What did they call him? A messenger of Satan. So it's a demonic personality that was buffeting and kicking Paul around. And if you notice, all Paul's travels, he suffers a lot. He suffered a lot. Okay, so let's look at this verse now. He said, because God didn't want to be exalted, I gave an example last week, and I said, if you are given $1 million, there is a way you will feel that it will be difficult to hold you down. And if you are giving $10 billion, you will turn your head upside down and you walk home with your head. I mean, there's no way we can restrain you. There's no way we can restrain you. So Paul was given the privilege of writing half of the New Testament. So this satanic messenger began to kind of normalize him so that he would not be beyond measure. Somebody said, Pastor, you are right. The same thing in my life. Be careful. Have you gotten an abundance of revelations? Pastor, you know, we usually call ourselves all kinds of names like, I'm Job. You're not Job. Are you the greatest man in the East? You're not the greatest man. You don't have 7,000 sheep and 7,000 cows. You don't have that. So don't start saying you're Job. No. Okay, so we can see from here that Paul was having this challenge. Look at next verse. So what did he do? Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. Now, I think Paul came to find out more later about this thing, but it was bothering him. So what did he do? Did he say, is it not the will of God or the will of God? No, he just took it to the Lord 3 times. And you know why he took it 3 times? The first time, it was not going. Because if you ask for something, it didn't go. You know it's still there. Then ask again, and then ask again. Now, what happened? Look at next verse. And the Lord said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So it simply means this, that he asked the Lord answered him. If you ask him my name, I'll do it. So the Lord said to him, now, this is what I want you to do about that matter. You have asked me to come. This is my answer for you, that my grace is sufficient for you. Now, see, that word grace is not just only for coping. It's for reigning too. It's to rule over. Let's look at Romans 5:17. Romans 5:17. Take a look. He said, for if by the one man's offense, death reigned through the one. Now, can you look now? Much more, those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign. See that word, reign. Reign means to master it, am I right? To control it, to put it under control. So, God has not given us grace just to cope with life. He's given us grace to master life. Praise God, somebody. I said, praise God, somebody. So Jesus said to him, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. The Lord is telling him this. Even when you feel so weak, my power is abundant in your life. Praise God. Do you know that even for this fan over here, it's not what I feel. It's power delivery through the fan. I even feel sometimes weak to turn it, but when I turn it, it will come on. Jesus was saying this to him, that in your weakness, my power is still evident. Let's go back to that place and read it again. Chapter 12, 2 Corinthians. Is it verse 7 or verse 8 now? Is it verse 7, 8 or 9? Verse 9. And the Lord said to me, therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities and what? That the power of Christ may rest upon me. What is the meaning of this verse? To boast in my weakness. That the power of Christ may rest upon me. That simply means this. Remember David and Goliath? David was smaller. He was on the negative side of the balance. Goliath was bigger on every side. But who was boasting? Who was boasting there? David. David was saying, I will knock you down. I'll come against you in the name of the Lord. He's boasting in his weakness. He didn't have the armory to stop him. So Paul was saying that when I began to boast, I remember years ago, I stepped into that thing in my life. I never knew how this happened. It just happened like that. I was going through some certain problems and challenges. And I would pray. I was not saying any so much answer. But when I started saying, I'll go through this. I will survive this. I will not go down in this. The Lord will help me out. And I started saying something else different. God helping me. Before, I was more like a victim. God, please, do something. Lord, please, don't leave me alone. Lord, this is difficult. Lord. But when I turned the flip and I said to myself that, no, Jesus said he will help me. God said he will strengthen me. I refused to. When I started doing that, I started seeing changes. By the way, that's the way to survive in this economy. To be honest with you. Look, to be honest with you. I don't know what to say next. I got somebody who came to sell me battery today. Brought battery to the house. The moment he landed like this, he just started complaining. He complained that the battery used to buy for 10 before. That money will only buy 4 now. And I joked. I said, relax now. Yeah, you're Obama now. Obama did for Asurok now. I said, Father Bale, now, you know. He just kept on lamenting. Yeah, what's the word I used for him this morning? In Yoruba word, I used for him. Not that. Oh, the man now, the battery man that came to the house, I used a particular Yoruba word for him. You don't remember. Kokon is small. Kokon. Ujukikon lo. That's a particular word. That Onso. Look again, Onso. What's the English for that one? I don't know. Onso. He just kept on talking. Finally, he left my house. And, you know, as he was talking, I knew it was reality to myself. Praise God. But God is our strength. His grace will take care of us. You know, when I think like this, at this moment, I will ask myself, are you not abnormal? Are you all right? Are you okay? Jeremiah 17. Are you okay, Grace? Are you okay to just believe that His power is sufficient, boast in my infirmity, the power of Christ may rest upon me? Jeremiah 17. Look at, are we there? Jeremiah 17. Verse 7. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is who? It's the Lord. Look at verse 8. It shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads. Please, is the computer sick or something? Those things, they take life of their own sometimes. It shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spread out its root by the river, and will not fear when heat comes. But its leaf will not will be green, and it will not be anxious in the year of what? Are we not in drought now, economically speaking? Now we see from yielding fruit. You see, when I look at this verse, a part of me will say, I hope so. Another part of me will say, I know so. I hope so, I know so. So I will identify with my knowing so. That's what Paul was talking about. So in the name of the Lord, we have the strength. The last week, 2 weeks ago, I covered two things. I said, sometimes when you use the name of Jesus, instant things will happen, or sometimes it's just gradual. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes you use the name of Jesus. Now, when we go to church, we glorify the instant one. Oh, I just spoke. I just believe. I just prayed. But sometimes it doesn't do that. So we saw that in the life of David. We saw that he came against Goliath in the name of the Lord. And it happened once. Bam! The man was on the floor next few minutes. He just threw this thing at him and he hit him and was out. He came against him in the name of the Lord. Then we read this one about Saul. Remember Saul in the Bible, the king? And when King Saul began to torment and persecute David, he couldn't just say, take his swing in the name of the Lord and hit him. It went for almost 10 years. And this is the testimony we read about 2 weeks ago. 2 Samuel chapter 3. Can you give us on the screen? 2 Samuel 3 verse 1. Take a look. I love this verse because it talks about what we're talking. Now, there was a long war. Now, between the house of Saul and the house of David, between David and Goliath, there was an instant short war. Am I right? He'd been making noise for 40 days. David was not there. He just showed up on the last day and he knocked him out next few hours. But this one was going on for long war, about 10 years. But can we read together what he said next? But David grew stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul grew weaker and weaker. Now, this is where it is important for us to know about faith and patience. Listen to this. Listen to this. When David killed Goliath, it was not his own strength. It's the strength of the Lord that knocked him off. But God also wanted David to build strength. You know, he never used any of the weapons. Am I right? He just took his stone, bam, no experience. But you can't live life like that. Huh? Somebody said, a clock is right twice a day, even when it's dead. Did you hear what I just said? If a clock stops at 6 o'clock, it doesn't move. 6 a.m. is correct. 6 p.m. is correct. Other times, not correct. Huh? So, sometimes, it just happens. Boom! But doesn't mean that you are actually stronger. So God now put this one to help you build your own strength. God's not punishing you. He's making you stronger. Somebody say amen to that. Somebody say, how long will that be? We can't tell. But let me surprise you like this. Do you know that David wrote the book of Psalm? You will never find Goliath there. Amazingly. Why couldn't he write about Goliath? Because it was a done deal. Like I said, it didn't add to him. It only exposed him. Instant fame doesn't actually add to us. It only exposes us. If you write an article or if you do a video and you have 10 million viewers, it didn't add to you. Pastor, it added to me 10 million. No, it added exposure to 10 million to you. Now, from then on, trouble will occur. Whatever you say will be in trouble. But the boy came and said, you know, I'm one of the oldest. I have to settle this matter. You know what I'm saying? So it's difficult. So that difficulty is where, like I said last week, success is more dangerous than failure. What did I say? Success is what? More dangerous. So that's the reason why. So we've seen the name of the Lord. And can I even drop this one? Today, an addition. You can use the name of Jesus and really don't have any serious going with Jesus. Did you hear what I just said? You can use the name of Jesus. Get evil miracles and don't really relate with Christ well. He will deliver you. I know one woman, she was in all these funny churches, and they asked her to go and do some certain thing for deliverance. And they asked her to wash, do some things, and all those things people do. So she was doing those things in the middle of the night in her house, in housing. True story. And then, when she started saying those things, she started hearing noise on her roof. Gidim. It was beyond what he was expecting. So she just stopped and screamed, "In Jesus' name!" When she said that, that thing ran across, fell down the compound, and ran off. You know, she told me later, she told me herself, it just worked. She went back to her old thing that we didn't do. So the name of Jesus can work. One time, Jesus was talking with the disciples, and John said to Jesus, "There's somebody not in our group, and we saw him using your name." Jesus said, "Leave him alone." So you can use the name and not really be related so much with him. So he wants to do more in your life than just using his name. Let's look at Matthew 7. Matthew 7. Hallelujah. Look at verse 22. Okay. "Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have you not prophesied in your name?'" See that? "Cast out demons in your name and do many wonders in your name." Next verse. "And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me. Practice lawlessness.'" So somebody can have the name of Jesus and out of just sheer deliverance of God want to help us, that can happen. So that's why you be careful. Somebody's doing miracles in the name of Jesus. It doesn't mean that they know God. It doesn't mean that God knows them. Huh? Praise God. Say, praise God. Praise God. So Jesus left us three things. He left us his name. Let's go to the next one. John 14. Read verse 13, verse 14. Let's read it. John 14, 13, 14. "And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father will be glorified in the Son." Next verse. "If you ask anything in my name, I'll do it." Can we say amen to that? Praise God. Now, it doesn't stop there. What's the next one? Look at next one. "If you love me," remember, I don't know you, right? Let's do this well. I didn't want to do it before, but let's do it. Remember in Matthew 7, he said, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Remember that? "Depart from me, I never knew you." That is a little bit concerned. It makes one to become concerned. Please listen to this. I won't tell you the truth over here now. I asked myself one day, I said, "Lord, you know everybody now. You know the number of the hair on their head." But I started looking for, what does it mean that he doesn't know, I don't know you? Please, are we here? This is eternal question. He said, "Depart, give us back that place." Matthew 7, verse 23. Matthew 7, 23. Can you give us? "And I'll declare to them, I never knew you." You know, it used to be very scary. But I better know what I mean by I never knew, so that I can take care of it before we see face to face. So what does it mean that I never knew you? Christ was saying, "I don't know you." So that phrase, what does it mean? One day, I was searching, reading my Bible, and I just saw what it meant in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Let's go. Chapter 8, 1 Corinthians. Come and see. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Chapter 8, verse 3. Take a look. "But if anyone loves God," please take a look. "If anyone," see that word "if" there, "if anyone loves God, this one is known by him." Oh, fantastic. So I got my answer. I don't have to get to heaven and asking, "You don't know me?" So he knows us, generally speaking. But he said, I don't know you. Depart from me. Whatever you have done in my name doesn't matter. What matters most is that I want you to, when you love me, then I know you. Are you listening, everybody? Are we here? Okay. So they used the name of Jesus, but Jesus said, depart from me. I never knew you. And then this one says, if anyone loves God, this one is known by him. So the greatest quest I have now is to know, to love God, right? This is so beautiful. Let's go to John 14 again. It's so beautiful. Give us verse 14. Take a look. I love this. You just put them together, the answer. If you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Now look at next verse. If you love me, wow. See, this is just like, it's just coupled together. So that my name is available, but I don't have to tell you, depart from me, I never knew you. I'll tell you how to love me now. If you love me, keep what? My commandments. So it's not difficult at all to love God, to love Jesus. You don't have to think something up that is extraneous, some kind of issue somewhere. Maybe you give God 1 billion naira. No. Or go to China, missionary, or Burundi. No. To love him is simply to keep his commandment. Now wait. He's not talking about 10 commandments here. Christ is talking about my commandment. What are the commandments of Jesus? If you love me. How many of you love Jesus here? Now, this is how you prove it, by keeping his commandments. Hallelujah. Now, listen. There's no way you can live the Christian life well. Please listen to this. There's no way you can live the Christian life well. This is where I have a problem with churches and pastors. There's no way you can live the Christian life well, without working with the words and commandment of Jesus. You just can't go to church like your pastor, agree with him, attend every program, give offering, give tithes. That's not enough. That's not enough. You have to love the Lord. And to love the Lord doesn't just mean that we just sing and thank God. No, it means that we do and keep his commandments. Now, I know what you are thinking about. That word keep means more than just obey. Let's read further. If you love me, keep my commandment. Let's go on. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. Okay, let's jump. I want to get to that commandment, love again. Let's go to verse 21. We'll come back to all this. He who has my commandment. I want you to see again. He who has my commandment. Who is he? And what? And keeps them. It is he who loves me. I want you to see this. Everybody, are you looking? He said, he who has my commandment. There is a place of personality in Christianity where it's private and personal. This is not just borrow all of us in church. For instance, we are all human beings, but we breathe individually. Am I right? We don't breathe as a community. We breathe individually. And if you don't breathe individually, you can't live in the community even. Am I right? So he's saying this, he, not they, he who has my commandments. And what does he do? Keeps them. It is he who loves me. So I know how to love Christ now. I don't have to be thinking up some kind of issues and some secrets. No. He who has my commandment and keeps them, it is he who loves me. Let's get together, everybody, next part. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. Now, I love this. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. My, how many of you want to see Jesus in your life? This is the key. He says, he who has my commandment and keeps them. See, let me tell you, can I tell you some truth. Really, I don't count on my job as a pastor. I don't count on my life as a husband. I don't count on my life as a father. I count on my life primarily as the person who want to love Jesus. I know that if I love him and I put my effort on that, he will manifest if me, love me and manifest himself in my life. I hope you know the meaning of manifest. It means that he will take my 5 loaves and feed my 5,000. It means that when I go to fishing and I couldn't get fish, it will talk to my water and my water will bring forth fish. It means that this is the way out. I can join walking on the water. It means that the impossible become possible in my life. It means that two of us are working together now. I just don't want to go to church, pray like praying mantis. I don't see so much happen in my life. Are we here? You know, sorry. Let me talk straight now. You know, I'm a man. I'm not a woman. Sorry, forgive me, all women. I'm action. I'm not talk too much, feeling. I want something to happen, you know. If Jesus wants to help, let him. I want to see help, Oroko eyes. I don't want to be praying forever. You know, like many men, you want to pray for your food, you just, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this, we start eating. Your wife will pray around the children, the grandchildren, the future, the past, everything. It's all right. Praise God. It's all right. But me as a man, I want to see God in action in my life. How many of you want to join me on that? I want to see God in action. We have women too, want to see God in action in our lives. And so, the key over there is that I must have his commandments. And second, I must keep them. The emphasis is where you must have his commandments. You must have it. And then you keep it. See that word keep there? Doesn't just mean you just do it. No, it means to treasure it. Are you hearing me? It's like, I said before, it's like a woman who just bought this gold jewelry. You know how they keep it? The way they pack it, the way they put it in a place where you can't find it easily. The other earrings, they're on the table. This one, it comes out once in a while. They treasure it. Okay, I'm all right. You know, they treasure it. So he said, I must have his commandment first. And can I be honest with you? I can define my life on those two levels. Every day I wake up, I want to have his commandment. And then I want to keep it. He who loves me will love my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself. I'll show myself to him in his life. I'll show him at home, at work, in his health, in his financial life. Look at next verse. So Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the whole world? Now, he died for the whole world, but he will not show himself to the whole world. Praise the Lord. For instance, I'm your pastor, but I don't go home with you. I go with this one, Eli. Like they say. I go with this one. Praise God. Jesus is saying, I'll go with you. I'll stay with you if you love me and keep my command and do it. Let's look at next verse. Come and see next verse now. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, what will he do? See something in that verse. Something just happened now that you didn't notice. Look at it. He was saying commandment before. He now puts my word there. He just changed it. So when he says my commandment, it doesn't mean 10 commandments. It means his word. He will keep my word and say again, my Father will love him. And we, who that? The Father and the Son. We will come to him and make our home. Wow. Can you imagine a home where the Father and the Son dwell? There'll be peace, right? There'll be assurance and confidence in the face of whatever can happen. I mean, Jesus was just with them at the wedding. The problem of the wine was sorted out. Am I right? Huh? Jesus was answering every question that the disciples could come up with him. He was not saying, Kabiyawusi. He didn't say that. They come to him and say, Master, what about this? He will tell them. What about that? He will tell them. Issues will occur. Praise God. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. So we can say like this, his commandment are his words. And this is where some people think that I can be a little bit way out. Jesus' words are the New Testament. The Old Testament are important. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? But I don't keep Solomon's word about 700 wives. Are you hearing me? I don't keep that. I mean, I don't go practice that. I practice the words of Jesus. Now, let's talk about the word keep. I want to talk about that for a few minutes. He that loves me, he will keep my word. See that word keep? It means, please, are we here? Are we here? It doesn't mean like this. It doesn't mean like this. Rejoice and be glad. Rejoice and be glad. No, it means rejoice and be glad. And you hold on to it. No matter what is happening, you just hold on to it. You take that as the life philosophy for yourself. Let me show you. Let's go to Luke chapter 8. The word keep. You see that word keep again now. Luke chapter 8. How to keep his word. Everybody here, that's your first job in life. To take the word of Jesus, take it first, and then keep it. And to hold on to it no matter what happened. Not to hold on to prophecy in church. Not to hold on to dreams you are having at night. But to hold on to the literal words of Jesus yourself. And if you don't know these words, you don't have them, how can you even keep them in the first place? And my wife knows somebody who was a deaconess for 20 years. She didn't have a Bible. I mean, how can somebody go to school, never have textbook, exercise books? That's not a school. That's playground. Sometimes I go to people's house like this, Christians, and they say, open the Bible, and they can't read even what's in there. They're not familiar with it. So how can they even do it in the first place? They're not familiar with the Bible. They know. So how could God solve your problems? So if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. I will come to him. The way you love Jesus is by having his word and keeping it. I can tell who a Christian who is loving the Lord, the way he takes the Bible seriously. Today, you see churches today, people don't take the Bible seriously anymore. Because they just think it's just there, just read it once in a while, pastor will read it, and then we go. No. If anyone loves me, they keep my word. Let's go to Luke chapter 18. Chapter 8, sorry, verse 15. Take a look at this. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word, see, they hear it first, with a noble and good heart, they keep it. They hold on to that word and bear fruit. Listen to me. If the ground does not hold to the seed, it will never grow. If I put a corn seed or bean seed over here, on the top over here, it will never grow. Until that ground accepts that seed into itself, not on the surface, and hold on to it in a much more definite, positive way. If you look at this story about the sower soweth the word, it's a story about people's hearts and the word of God. The very first heart was the one by the wayside, remember? The parable of the sower. The second one is where? By the stony ground. The third one is where? By the thorns. And then the last one is the good ground that holds on to the word of God. With what? And bear fruit with patience and endurance and staying with it. Let's talk about that for a few minutes. Jesus said, he that has my words, you keep it, you put it in your heart. The second, you really, really keep it. And then you don't change your mind about it. You hold on to it. I believe that is our first vocation in life. Our first vocation in life is to hold on to the word of God as Christians. In fact, what's our name? Believer. What's a believer? Never let it go. See, the first kind of ground, I'm coming to where we are now. See, many of us who are saying Jesus are not manifesting in our life. Jesus is not showing up in my life. You know why? The very first one. The first ground did not accept the seed well. The birds of the air came and did what? And ate it up. What's that? Look at Matthew 13. Let's look at what kind of ground is that. We read the story is in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. 13th verse. Is it 15 now? Verse 17. Let's look at verse 17. Okay. Matthew 13. Okay, let me find the verse so we can read it. Maybe start right at the beginning. Beautiful. It's verse 19. Sorry. Okay. When anyone hears, please look up. When anyone hears the word of God and does not understand it, then the wicked one. Now, we know how devil works in people's life now. Many of us say that devil just jump on people. He doesn't jump on people. He actually watch that you don't understand God. You don't understand his word. You don't understand miracle. You don't understand financial blessing. All these things, you don't understand them. You just come to church and just say, Amen, 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 Lord Jesus, Amen, sir. And then sometimes because of lack of understanding, we think that by saying it very harsh and very hard, maybe it will penetrate. How many of you have been there before? You know? As somebody said, it was a lawyer. He was asking a judge about experience, how to practice law. The man said, when you know the law, emphasize it. When you have experience with that law, emphasize it. If you don't have both of them, just pound the table. Just make noise. The lawyer will adjourn the case. Now, you can't pound the table before the Lord. That one, you can adjourn forever. So he said, you don't understand it. So, number one, if I don't understand the word of God, it's not even in my heart yet. Can I make you laugh? There was this church in America. This pastor just came, and then one man came and said, Pastor, I want to ask you, this tie business, is it necktie or cross tie? He asked me about tights. He thinking he was talking about tie. Huh? He said, is it necktie or cross tie? You know, my wife is here. Years ago, before this tie trouble, my wife said, this tie business is not working. Oh. This tie business is not working. I don't want to do it anymore. In fact, one day she told me, we're talking about this seed sower, the word sowing. And I said, this is the story. Somebody wrote a book on it. My wife said, that book, I don't understand it. I said, if you don't understand that book, you'll never get anything Christianity. I used to be very rough. Now, I would just tell her very nice now. But dear, you need to read the book. But that time, I was a rough guy. I said, you don't get it? You don't get anything else in life. Jesus said, this is the story. If you don't get this story, because this is how to love me and manifest in your life. If you don't understand it, Pastor, what does it mean to understand something? You remember when you're in secondary school? Cousin theory, almighty formula. You just cram it. Remember how many of you know? You just cram it. How many of you been there? How many of you here? Yeah, you don't like mathematics. Can I see your hands up? You don't like mathematics. Thank you. I can see Mr. Gabby. How do you wind up in science, Mr. Gabby? The prof now in vet medicine. You don't like mathematics, but you passed it anyway. At least you get credit because you could have crossover. All right. But you know mathematics? Listen. This is how you know you understand mathematics. You cram it, and then the teacher says, come out, can you give us the cosine theory or theorem? You cram it. You just come like this and do like this. Then say, KVD. Then you're about to go to your seat. And Suraju, who is your enemy? We say, hey, wait till Tunde, how did you get? Don't ever ask me. You got it. Don't ever ask me. How can you really pray and get an answer? Don't ask me. Just pray. Huh? How do you believe God? Believe Nani. You know, you just don't get this. You see, every time I go to my Bible, I'm trying to get this clear. Because if I don't get it clear, I won't walk in the light of it. So number one, understand it. That's the beginning of keeping it. Because if you don't understand it, the enemy will come and won't enter the ground. It will be taken away. The second thing, second ground, look at next verse. Second ground. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word, and immediately, what does he do? He says, with joy. And look at next verse. Then, yet he has no root in himself. But, please, can you look up everybody? Can you look up? For when tribulation, trials, or persecution arises because of that word, what does he do? So this person is keeping the word of Jesus is this. You have to keep it such a way that it will send root into you. Is that taking you over? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You see like this. But I'm still wanting. I don't know. You don't understand it yet. You're not holding it yet. That means you hold that word in spite of all the difficulties about wanting in your life. And say, the Lord is my shepherd. Because why? He said it. Thou preparest a table before me. Where? Who are the enemies? My different wants, my different needs, shortcomings. In that midst of that, prepares a table before me. So I can say, the Lord is my shepherd in the face of all my wants. Praise God, somebody. Am I making some sense? So what would the devil do? He will raise up tribulation, persecution, will make things more difficult for you so that you can renounce that word. For instance, you believe God, you pray, and somebody stole your phone. Huh? Then you feel like, oh boy, take care of yourself. God can watch over you. Yeah, they took my phone, but I'm not going to give up on God protecting me. Pastor, why? I don't understand this phone's loss, but I understand God being with me and being my keeper. He said he will keep my going out and my coming in now and forevermore. But Pastor, you just lost your phone. I agree, I lost my phone, but I've not lost the Lord. Can you clap your hands for Jesus, somebody? That's it. I refuse. The same thing with my health. Same thing with my finance. I'm going to have to supply all my need. You see, a person who doesn't act like this, he just, first of all, rejoice over the word. But when something happens, something bad happens, they just go kaboom and start slowing down. I see them in church. They're coming faithfully, listening. Something happens, they just start going down deep and going off. The third one is the most pathetic. The third grand. He has so much promise, but has a problem. Look at next verse. But he who receives seed among the thorns. See, this one is a promising grand, but the thorns are competing. He said, he hears the word, and the cares, the worries of this life, and the deceitfulness of riches, young men, cryptocurrency, choke the word. Let's go and read Luke version of it, verse 14. Luke 8, verse 14. Saying the same thing, but I want you to see it clearly. Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, what? When they've heard, go out and are choked with what? Chaos, riches, pleasures of life. Some people, they come to church like this. All they are thinking about is their financial life. What can I get more money? How can I get that? Pastor, can you help me? How can you get out of there? How can I pay my bills? How can I pay my house rent? You can't. That's choking the word you are hearing.
Pastor, I have to pay my house rent.
I know you have to pay your house rent. I know children will go to school, but how many of us by worrying can make it happen? Pastor, you are very harsh. You don't know life. But by the way, I don't go to heaven on Monday and come back next Saturday. I live here too, and I have a set of worries too. But I refuse to worry about my worries. First of all, I'm not from worry, so why should I worry? Apology if I'm from worry. Worries, chaos, worries, riches, give us in NLT, pleasures of life. Before you got TV, you are reading your Bible. After you got TV and DSTV, Bible see more. But I just shut down my DSTV sometimes ago. What about you? The seed that fell among thorns represent those who hear the message, but all too quickly, the message is carried out by the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life. So they never grow the one to maturity. Oh, I must get that. Oh, I must marry. Oh, I must have children. Oh, I must have a house. Oh, I must have a job. Oh, I must travel. It's always like that. It's always like that. You just keep on like that. Keep on like that. And it can be very difficult if you're on the side of struggles. You see, there's a problem with side of struggles. You are pressed. On the side of riches, you're also pressed.
Somebody now is coming to church. There's no business. He's trying to trust God and trust God and trust God. God started opening doors. They start having business. They start not coming to church anymore, not hearing the Bible, not praying anymore. He's in business now. He's pressured. He's under pressure. So either way, you'll be caught in it. And then when you start having some money, you can go to one of these places to go and enjoy yourself. Huh? And every night you go there. Do now, petrol has gone up. Huh? You know, one of the greatest life pleasures is your phone. This thing is designed to keep you busy 24/7. It's designed like that. You know, have you ever watched YouTube before? As you are watching one, next one follows that. It's in the same line, no? Umawa helpful, but it also can be very hindering. I have something on my phone that calculates how many hours I spend. Sometimes when I look at the hours, mugbe. Then you tell me, last week you did less. You did more than last week. It's on my phone. So that kind of gave me some warning. Do you know that Nigeria has been going down since Africa Magic came? We will not attend to our lives. We just watched. One day I saw that Nigerians have spent about 3 billion naira for that to watch movies. I said, what? Oh yeah, that's a business. Who can do no, bone. I'm not against film. But it's the same thing they showed here. Somebody married, leaves his wife, married somebody else, then have children for that one again, and came back, repented, and he cried, and they bought him a new car, and he drove off so happily married. Same story. The same story. You know? It's about somebody getting married, somebody not leaving the person, somebody joined somebody. You know, I saw one yesterday. My wife was watching the news, and they brought this one in between. What's the name now? That one, they saw all kinds of women with all kinds of look. You know what? It's one drama. He said, even this site looks like I want weary. Forgive me. Oh. I mean, they look like weary. I mean, because clearly, and it's a series of drama. So if I watch it for the next 6 months, I become weary like these people. To be honest. I mean, you see the way they wear clothes, the way they move, they just watch. I met one, my friend, Pastor Kenny. You know Pastor Kenny now? Pastor Kenny told me, he said he was working, you know, he's an architect, he was working in one building somewhere at Olokuta. And there was this old man there, that was quite old, white hair. And this old man would dress up, wear, you know, jeans and t-shirt, but it's something. And he'd go out looking for girls. So Pastor Kenny said, what now? Mommy said to me, Mommy has forgotten me. He said, what? He said, that's forgotten me. He won't cook for me. He said, she's watching Z Word. You know what's Z Word? So he said, she watched Z Word, she won't cook. She watched Z Word, or just Z Word, just Z Word. He said, one time I removed the TV. She bought a smaller one to watch it. I stopped the DSTV, she kept paying the money. She just watched and watched, was watching away her family. And the man now was chasing women around 8-something years old. That's no longer choking the world. It's choking our marriage. It's choking our future. Today, the world, I'm not against watching film. I watch film. How long in between them? It's taking some time, maybe how many months. But you know what? You just can't be watching every night and not be influenced by it. It will choke the world. We just pleasures of life, chaos and riches. When you don't have money, that's worry. When you have money, that's riches choking it. And when you have pleasures, all kinds today, all kinds of gadgets, the word of God won't stay in our hearts. That's why we don't see so much results. Because if you spend more time with DSTV, if DSTV abides in you and you abide in DSTV, ask DSTV for everything you need, and you are from DSTV. Don't worry, I'm talking to myself too, because this is difficult. It's difficult. See, when you are praying, it takes effort. In Jesus' name, you look at 5 minutes, okay? It should be 1 hour now. But when you're watching film, even when the director goes off, put on the gen. And then they will calm down your soul by at the end, to God be the glory. At least do something that is glorious. Calm your soul down. You know? So So I'm saying I'm not deep alive. I have TV in my house. But come in a house computer. You know, some people, oh, let's not go that way. Let's leave that alone. Let me talk. Some people, you know, they were deep alive. They said TV. So some of these guys come in who are educated. They said, okay, they said TV. Computer, I'm going to be PC. So they just watch it on PC. They say, oh, the TV, no, it's PC I'm watching. PC. Hallelujah. I'm saying all that to say this. Let's take time to take his word. I know it's not easy to sit down with Matthew, read some Mark, some Luke, could that be? But that's where our life is. Let's go back to John 14. Time is. Let's run back there. So I've shown you about retaining the word in your life. Give us verse 15 here before you go. Can you give us verse 15 here? Okay, can you go? Sorry, go back to Luke 8:15 in NLT. I want to quickly jump there. Let's go back there. Luke 8. And the seed that fell on the good soil represent honest, good-hearted people who hear God's word. Now, what did he say next? Cling to it. Cling to it. And patiently produce a huge harvest. Let me warn you. You guys, Jeremiah, listen to this one. See, first time you start acting on the word of God, you won't see results. No farmer goes to the farm, plants seed for the first time, and get a huge harvest. He doesn't have the skill. It takes time. But I live there, he's a medical doctor. The first time he goes to Oscotete medical school, he didn't hear anything. It's practice and practice and practice. It gets better. So you just can't, some of us, you just want a miracle like that. No, it takes time. This thing grows, develops. It's called harvest. It takes a while. It's like business. You have to put effort into it. Huh? So, the word of God is not a machine we press. It's a seed that we grow. Do you hear what I just said? See, machine age. We just press that, we swipe it in. It's instant. But not seed. Do you know that? On the farm, you don't keep wristwatch. Wristwatch is useless on the farm. It's useless. You don't count time. You just count harvest time and seed time and where you are walking in between. The best of God's harvest is awaiting those who are taking their time to go through with it. There was a time in my life, nothing finances was working in my life. Nothing. Rosade, that preached on healing, he was sick. You can tell, you get sick sometimes, get family sometimes, you know, you just ought to hold on to it. How many of you went to school? That was a tough time. You went to school when it was tough. I mean, you had to go to school with a lot of struggle. Thank you. Some of you went to school on plate of gold. Thank you. Everything. You know, sometimes you are 001 like this, you still get up and go to class. Am I right? Just, I better get a certificate because there's no other way. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's close our eyes and say, Father, thank you for your word. I receive your word. I retain your word. And I release your word on my situations. This word will bring forth harvest. God's word will bring forth harvest in my life. I refuse to quit. I refuse to stop. I refuse to let go of the word of God. No matter what I'm feeling, like trial or persecution from anyone, no matter what's going on around me, in the economy, in my environment, I know that God and his word, they are faithful. If no one else is faithful, I know God is faithful. So, and I love him. I receive his word. I welcome his word. And I thank you, Father, for your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Let's get practical now. The trouble we have today, let me be honest with you. I want to be honest with you. Now, when you determine to read the Bible and follow the word of God, there's a lot of struggle involved. So you need you need help. What do I say? You need help. John 14, 23. That's where we stop. John 14, 23. Jesus replied, all who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them. We'll come and make our home with each of them. Now, next verse. And
Anyone who doesn't love me will not obey me. And remember my words, I'm not my own. What I'm telling you is from the Father who sent me. Those words of Jesus, they are words of the Father. I'm telling you these things now while I'm still with you. Stop there. Give us an NKJV. I'm telling you this. These things have I spoken to you while being present with you. Now listen. It's fantastic to be there when Jesus was talking like this. But it's no longer here with us. Am I correct? It's not here with us. So it can be difficult to assess and understand this. Agree with me? I mean, Peter can say to Jesus, clear something so clear about clarify. But I don't have that today. So it's much more difficult. So look at next verse. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that are said to you. Okay, so we are getting it complete now. I said three things Christ has given us while he was going. He gave us his name to use against life situations. Second, he gave us his word to express our love for him. But third, he gave us the helper to help us handle life. Whether situations, circumstances, issues that come up, to take his word to be able to apply it to what we need to do. That's why we have teachers in school. They could have just given us textbooks, but only a few of us will find our way through it. So what does he do? He said, I'll send you the helper. Who is that? The Holy Spirit. Now, please, I want to establish something today here. The Holy Spirit is not for prophets. The Holy Spirit is not primarily for vision. Please listen. This is important. Under the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit gave visions and dreams. And today, it will still give vision and dream. But as a unique work of the Holy Spirit now, with every individual believer, the purpose of the Holy Spirit now as the helper, the purpose of the Holy Spirit as the helper is that he will teach you. So it's not coming as a prophet. It's not coming as a visionaire. It's not coming as a dreamer first. It's here as a teacher. Now, can I ask you a question? Is Christ the Son of God? Pastor, what kind of question is that? Is Christ the Son of God? Is he God the Son? Now, can you imagine if God come to the world, what do you think he will do? If God come to the world, what do you think he will do? He will just go around, bam, bam. But when Jesus came here, what was he doing? He was teaching, he was preaching, and he was healing. He was not prophesying. Amazing. He was not giving dreams and visions. Amazing. Those things are important, but they are parables. They're parables. Listen. Let me show you. Pastor, can you show the difference between Spirit of God teaching you and then also vision and dream? Now, visions and dreams can be given to you, but they cannot match Christ teaching you or the Holy Spirit teaching you. Listen to this. Listen. This will help you. Joseph had two dreams at night. Am I right? In one, he saw his brother Shiv bowing down to him. Am I right? Second one, he slept. He saw 11 stars, the sun and the moon bow down to him. Now, can I ask you a question? How do you practice that? I'm asking, how do you practice that? How will that dream come to pass? Okay, you go around and said, I'm the Shiv, I'm the first star. No. That dream will never come to pass. That vision will never show up until he began to follow the Lord. The Lord started teaching him how to run his father's house, in Potiphar's house. The teaching brought the answer. You see, the dream was only a summary. That was a summary of his life. So in the night, you slept and saw yourself in the limousine. It's a summary. You don't have the limousine now. And there are steps you have to take to get that limousine, or else that year only rely lie. So even if I don't have the dream of limousine, if I take the steps and instruction, I may get it without the dreams. Is that clear? Now, Pastor, are you against dream? I have dreams. I wrote them down too sometimes too. But they can be very confusing. Huh? Are you hearing me?
Okay, wait. How will you interpret the dream of Joseph? Sheaves bowing down. Huh? Okay. You come a farmer in the village, a chief. Then stars in the sky. You know, all these kind of things we talk about. If you want, like what I said, if you want your dream to come to pass, you have to wake up.
What I just said.
You have to wake up. And you need instruction in life. I've seen people with beautiful potentials in life, but the real trouble is that they are not instructed step by step. They go to an interview, they have first class, but they insult the interviewers and they don't get the job. Why? Because they never know how to behave, not be instructed and taught. So the greatest thing of the Holy Spirit is to teach us all things now. Not only just Bible, about life. As you read the Bible, Jesus taught them how to behave when they go to party. He told them now, Christ one day was in a party, and as they were eating, he said to them, when you go to a party, sit at the back. That's not spiritual matter. That's how to behave. He said, if you sit at the front, they will ask you to go to the back and you'll be downgraded. But if you sit at the back, they will upgrade you and everybody will honor you. Isn't that beautiful? So it will teach you about all things about life. Children, parenting, handling your mom, handling your dad, handling your friend. He said, it will teach you what? All things. So primarily, the Holy Spirit wants to teach you. You can have a skill in business, but the day-to-day of dealing with people's life, how will you handle that? Now, Pastor, how does he teach me? You can't teach somebody without textbooks. Huh? You have to have a classroom where you sit down with teacher and they open the book and refer to books. And when they tell you to check the book, then they will tell you this, how to do it, how to do it. People are asking, Holy Spirit, speak to me. You will have to do it through the Bible. As you read that Bible, sit down with it, it began to make things clear. You can ask my wife. I'll tell my wife, I just saw this. My wife will say, you saw it 2 years ago now? Because I'm learning afresh. For instance, I told her yesterday something happened to me I never seen before in my Bible. You know, I've always seen David saying, worship the Lord, magnify God. And David carried the ark. Remember? But I never seen that there was a temple or the tabernacle of Moses where they have the most holy place and holy place and outer part. You know what shocked me most? David took the most holy place ark to his house. I was shocked. Now, nobody goes to the most holy place. Nobody except the high priest once in a year. And you just can't enter there. Wakuda only. So, you will have to go through sacrifice and blood and dropping blood. And then you can't even go through only the priest. We can enter the holy place, then the most holy place, the high priest. You know what David did? There was no song. Nobody sang in the Moses of Tabernacle of Moses. Nobody sings. You just come in with your animal, dump like an ass, put it down. You don't see anything. But it was the time of David that the ark was brought in and they were dancing before it. He said, enter his gate with thanksgiving. So David did something fantastic. He just took that ark, put up a tent around it, and said, welcome. Check it up. So they left that other thing, that old tabernacle, at a place called Gibeon. Or Gibeon, I'm not sure. They left it there. So they were still offering sacrifice there. But David wanted to be with God and spend time with God. He just pulled it out, took it to Jerusalem. You know how he knew? When they were bringing it, somebody died. David said, So he called somebody, Obed Edom, take it to your house. And in 3 months, the man was so blessed. So that thing was not meant for the camp. It was meant for the house to get blessed. So he took it and took it to his place and put a tent there. And he said, he would come over there and talk to God. He walked in and I said, whoa, I never seen. I didn't see that. The other one was there offering sacrifice. This one is over here. And then, you know how I find out? Bible says in Acts 15, the Lord will rebuild tabernacle of David and will invite all nations to come and worship the Lord. I said, whoa, never seen that before. I mean, I read my Bible, I've seen it in glimpses, but I mean, he pulled out the ark and took it to his house. And you know what God did for us? He pulled out his presence and put it inside of us.
God lives in us now, so we can worship and bless and magnify him. Praise God, somebody. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. See, it's in my Bible already. So just listen. Hallelujah. He said, teach you all things and bring to your remembrance. Like basic one like this. Somebody something, say, thou shalt not steal. You know, love. Let's go to a place in the Bible to make this clear. Let's look at Ephesians 5, verse 1, Message Bible, about teaching us and reminding us. And what is this teaching all about? Ephesians 5, verse 1, Message Bible. Now, can you look up? Watch what God does, and then you do it. You are God's children. Like children who learn proper behavior from their parents. Let's go on. Mostly what God does is love you. Keep company with him and learn a life of love. Observe how Christ loved us. His love was not cautious, but extravagant. He didn't love in order to get something from us, but to give everything of himself to us. Love like that. Wow. Okay, let's go to now 1 John 2:20 about loving. NKJV. Okay. All right. Don't allow love. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, the same Holy Spirit. And you know what? Verse 27, talking about this teaching. But the anointing which you have received from him, where does he abide? And you do not need that anyone teach you. Wow. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and it's true, not a lie, has taught you, you'll abide in him. You see, how many of you know Benny Hinn? You know Benny Hinn. Have you heard of Benny Hinn? Benny Hinn is the master at anointing. Anointing, he will sing like this, people start falling. So one day, he was talking to a senior man of God called Ura Robert, and he was telling us, Benny Hinn was telling us, Benny Hinn said to him, he said, the anointing that is most important in a believer's life is not the anointing to do things on the stage. He said, he never had that before. He said, the real anointing is the anointing of a Christian. That other anointing to do things, they are on you. They are just on you. They are not inside of you. But the real anointing of a Christian is inside of you. Because they had anointing to under the Old Testament. But the unique anointing we have now is that we can be taught by the Lord over a matter. The Lord can teach us. The Lord can bring things to our remembrance. Different things in my life. Issues, financial, emotional, physical, children, everything. Lord, I have books. Books I have will take me about maybe 10 lifetimes to finish. Books, I keep getting them. All kinds of subjects. And I have some issues. I read them, get some light. But the best light I ever get over my personal life is when I sit down and say, Lord, your word is not clear to me about this. How do I handle this person now? What do I do with this? For instance, like the issue of my wife. Bruce can say, love your wife, but they don't know my wife. They don't know my wife. She's from Ibadan. They don't know her. She doesn't know me. See, the book doesn't know that. The book doesn't know I'm from where I am. The book can just describe for me. But I said, Lord, how do I love this? And then he said, love your wife as Christ loved the church. I said, I'm trying. He said, and gave himself up for her. That changed everything for me because that was emphasized because it's personal to me. You know, would you like to go to a class where the teacher knows your weakness and identify with you? That kind of classroom never happens. You don't have that in your school. We are 35 in the class, and then you are struggling. You know what we do now? Even sometimes you go to the teacher, please explain. How many of you have a teacher that did that to you? that just pick you up and help you some certain things. Can I see your hands up? See, you don't forget now. The teachers, they're there. That's one teacher I had when I was in medical school. See, today I don't like him. It's pharmacology. You just come like this to the class. Beta blockers. As if Otigberu. You just be dropping it. And then you just be writing notes. You can't ask any question. There's a beta blocker. I never understood pharmacology. We passed it. But you know, you just cram it. You just said, give me the way I gave you. Kilili. Give me the way I gave you. No, I'm going to go face life minus you. Praise God. Then I have another teacher. Professor Sofolahan. For physiology. My. He'll come to the class, explain. Our last class with him to do our exam. He just came in and summarized a whole year in one class. You know what we did? We all got up and started clapping. Wishing that we will never leave his class, lie. So beautiful. But thank God, we have a super one more than that. It's the Holy Spirit. And it's with you right now. It's with you right now if you're a child of God. It's living inside of you. And want to teach you about life. When you face issues, don't just think that, you see, Pastor, I'm going to pray. That's your trouble. You talk too much. Can you imagine? Two people sit down, my wife and I sit down, and I say, let's talk. And I talk. And when I finish, I get up and go. I say, dear, and I come again, talk. They say, can I say, no, I'm coming back. So what do? We pray too much on that. Pray. You know, one time they were praying like that in the early church. They were praying for Peter to be released from prison. And the man was released, and he was at the door. They said, he's still at the door. They kept on praying. Let me expose Sister Theater here. You know, sorry for doing that. You know, she came to look for work over here. She got a job. Appointment letter. And then she came over here. And they didn't give her a letter. I won't mess up the place. She said she's not on the list. And she was on the list from Abuja. You know what she did? She just stood outside there and said, Lord, please help me. I need your help. Now, never been here before in this land. Both of them, husband and I, they've never been here west for the first time they were here. And where would she go? What would she do? She just stood over there outside. And a man came and said, as if I know you before. Oh, no. He said, you don't know me. I'm just here for the first time. And he said, your face looks familiar. He said, what are you here for? He said, I have an appointment letter. And they didn't give it to me. The man says, hey, what? They didn't give you the letter? That's what they do. Never know he's talking to the MD. Never know. The man said, don't worry. We'll see what we can do with it. And for 3 or 4 days, sorted her out, gave her the letter. Himself signed it. He didn't know she was the MD. And as she took the letter to the president, I'm an MD. She said to me, you know what she said to me? He said, I nearly missed him, remember? I never knew he was there. He said, if I take a step, I didn't take that step. If I was not there at that moment, that's what we need most in life. To be just at the right place at the right time. Are you hearing me, somebody here? And that's where the nudging of the Spirit, the help, the instruction about our lives. So can I advise you, when you finish praying, just be quiet. And do like Samuel. Your servant is listening. You want to say anything to me? Any feeling, any issue, anything? Some of you, the reason why you don't hear that anymore is because when you do like that, he'll tell you, forgive Yataju. No! You get up. You start sorting out your life. So you get up. You want to spend some money. Then we say, no, let your husband. No! So after a while, the Spirit put him away. And he has to live together with you for a long time. So what will he do? Kill you? Where will he go next? So what does he do? He just manages you. So when things happen, when you cry, it helps you clear the face. Huh? For instance, it doesn't like you borrowing everywhere. Maybe you borrow one or two, that's all right. But you borrow from this app and that 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 app. How many now? Then I sent your picture to somebody you don't like to say. Then I cried before the Lord. You cried. The Lord said, quick, bele, bele, bele. God is with us. When you finish crying, you will tell somebody, say, Pastor Funis and Agbana Jenny. You just go on fire. So let's leave him alone. Next time again, I have a picture again. Briefly, let's pray. Huh? Honestly, I pity sometimes the Holy Spirit. He suffers with us in every situation. He goes through the pain because he lives in us. He feels our struggle. But if you just take time to let him teach us and just be quiet and not be stubborn within ourselves. Pastor, how can I stop the stubbornness? Start reading the book called the Bible, particularly Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, to just watch Jesus and calm down. Say, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Another big one for Nigerians with the Holy Spirit. Nigerians, this is the problem with the Holy Spirit. You know, they want Holy Spirit to not do the step like this. One, two, three. Bam, it's okay, Oluwa. You know what they want? Come from here and go there. And you're going to have kata kata. Have you ever tried to go down staircase and you missed two or three? Hello, hello. Nigerians don't mind missing the steps just to get to where they're going. So you have to learn sometimes just to calm down and relax. If you go abroad, something you notice, they are calm. Have you been to shopping mall like this? I'm a Nigerian. No, you're going by. That's our language. I want to run somewhere. And you see them calmly, this white. What's wrong with them? Just line up like that. In fact, they be gisting. And if you want to run ahead of them, you just say, Nigeria. Manager, Bulewa. Things just work out. Christ said, be quiet, be real. Just. Hallelujah. Are we blessed today? Matthew 11, let's close, 28. Let's round up like this. Message Bible. Let's read first of all NKJV, the Message Bible. At time. Okay, sister, you can read some. I hope you know where the boys have gone. I hope you know where the books are. You don't know. Don't worry, we'll have to find out later. Okay, sister, okay, we'll relax today because the boys have gone. Do the book. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. See that? Now listen to the next verse. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Don't only ask me to do things. Learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your soul. Next verse. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Let's go to Message Bible now, and I round up. We finish early today. Let's go home. That's fine. Matthew 11, 28, Message Bible. Take a look. Are you tired? Worn out, born out on religion, come to me, carry away with me, and you will recover your life. Do you know, African people, we live our life more in shame than in our real life. Kinewa so, kinewa gbo, Paul, see, hey, Jesu. You see, if you have a car now, you don't have a car. You won't think about not having a car. Like somebody, you know, just do something ceremony now. You say, I'm what time? Oh, you're loading me. Would you tell me? You know, we live like that. We live under this pressing. These are the days that you leave your car and take Okada. It's cheaper. Are you hearing me? Huh? Like that man. My office this morning. Oh, I'm lonely. I bought 5,000 for Okada. 5 liters. He said, I have to tell you, 5 liters. Someone said, I have to go somewhere for a wedding now. I take it. My phone alone. Because Even the money I used to spend there, except that they are my friend to the end. By Kisilonism. It's life difficult. I will show you how to take a real rest from all these hang-ups and struggles and pain. Somebody there, not there. Just because you are not eating well now. Ah, Jesus, you can't wash so. Leave that alone. Your belly matters not, you can't wash so. Praise God. Be free. Next verse. Let's jump. What's the next one? Walk with me and walk with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Just calm down. I'll take care of you. I'll be there for you. I'll walk you through. As I stand up, I want to use Okpe there. I always use him for my example. Okpe, please stand up. Okpe is over there. He lost his father a couple of years ago. Please sit down. He was about to finish FCE, lost his father. He's very brilliant. He wanted to go to school more. A master's speech. Daddy had guaranteed him. Father died. And so he started struggling. How will he go? His mom is a trader. And he started trying to hawk and do some things and sell popcorn. Remember? And I put up an advert for somebody to just assist me in the office. And that's how we met. Walked to my office side and said, I want to get a job. I said, what do you do? You know, as this store your name as FCE Okpe. I'm going to remove that now. So we started talking. I said, hey, you know what? This business. He said, you know what? My teacher, I'll be selling the popcorn on the road. And my teacher will pass that taught me. He said, what are you doing here? So much pain. But I said, you know what? Okay, we can do, but let's take this business and see what we can do. Let's start from where we are. See, I told you, 3 o'clock, start from where you are. You will start thinking of the Capri and the Capri scholarship while abroad. That kind of prayer takes a lot of effort. And doesn't come to pass. We really feel so sad. See, because if I from there fall down, my bone will break more. But if I fall from there, bam, on the floor, my bone will break much. But first, we set too much things on ourselves. But I said, it's like making the popcorn. I said, how can we make popcorn better as educated popcorn? So he started putting some milk, remember? Some milk with the popcorn. And he began to sell. And Park In called him to start supplying milk or milky popcorn. And he started doing that. He started doing that. And the next thing he knew, he had a second point for selling popcorn. We had two or three that time, one more plus your own. And he had a popcorn machine. And then COVID came. And leveled everything. Who want to eat popcorn in COVID? They're looking for food to eat. But you know what? He just descended. You know what he did? He took bread. Because people are hungry for bread. And he carried bread in his hands. Went to NUT and hawking bread. Just like hawking bread. And hawking bread. Then after a while, COVID cleared. He started supplying bread. He started buying bread. He had a spot. The second spot. The third spot. The brother joined him. And one day he came to my office. He said, he wants to start his own high-tech bakery. I said, how much? Around 10, 20 million. I look at him. I'm a man of faith. I believe God. You know, he owns that kind of factory right now. That bakery. He has it right now. His bread is good. Doesn't have any poison inside it. You know, he came to me. Was it last week now? He said, something they're putting in bread that's not good for people. I can't put it there. He said, it makes it more expensive. But I just have to. He said, this particular thing, I can't just do that. I can't. They do that. He said, I can't do that. Instead of butter, there's something. I said, I have to. I said to him, you know what? Are you still making gains? I said, let's keep on doing that. Go. So he said, we're out. Now, can you imagine from popcorn to owning a whole bakery, high-tech bakery. I'm just taking step by step, by step by step, by step by step with the Lord. I prefer that than just breakthrough. It's called Yahoo Yahoo or Yahoo Plus. Let's go home. Praise God. Hallelujah. Do something with the Lord. I'm in your hands. My times are in your hand.
Just take me step by step. Walk with me. Lord, come walk with me and walk with me. Lord, I'm ready to walk with you, ready to walk with you. I'm not high-minded. I'm not thinking of something beyond that will just stifle my life. I just want your way, my Father. Lead me on, show me the way. Build my life as you want to build it. Strengthen me as I go on. You are the God of my salvation. You are the God of my help. You are the strength of my life. I trust you. I believe you. You are more than enough for me. Thank you. Spirit of God, tell him, teach me, remind me. You know my life plan is in your hand. Nobody has it like you do. Just take me in the way of Jesus. Lead me on. Lead me on. Oh, thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Open your eyes. Before we give our offering, let me expose somebody else more. I was sitting with, like, was it Saturday night with Sister Biola? She was telling me she had a son that wanted to get married and she didn't have so much money. And she told me, sitting down there, she spent $2 million that didn't come from herself. Huh? You know how I started? She told me the story. How it started? She wanted to do the clothes as she be. She didn't want to do it. They said she would do it. Then she set up the price of the clothes and she said 8,000 naira. And let's make it, usually you put money on it, 10,000. Am I right? That's not even too much. You put double there. And then she said she was taking it and then she was doing her hair, remember? And then God said, is that what I want you to do? He said, Lord, it's 8,000. I just put 2 on it to buy souvenir. Said, who asked you to do that? He said, that's what everybody's doing. He said, aren't you different? Speak that word in her mouth. I'm different. I'm different. The person that was doing her hair said, Auntie Kilenso, conversing with the Lord. Guess what? The Lord said, go back and call those people and tell them that it's 8,000. What? Go back, tell them it's 8,000. So she took her phone one by one. About 6 Christians among them, one is an unbeliever. He said, bros, this Holy Ghost said, it's 8,000, please. You know what happened? She go to the last person, called them out and told them. One of them said, Auntie, come back now and wire that 100,000 straight away. Wire that 100,000. How much for 7 of them? 2,000. How much is that one? 14,000. Swada. I said, money start coming, money start coming, money start coming. She was trying to get some 14,000. Am I right? Bulumadi. Just do that. And money start coming, money start coming, money start coming, money start coming. Another one, she told me, they said, she need to buy clothes for the other family, as the family of the father. I said, I'm not buying clothes for anybody. And you go to him, clothes. The Lord said, why can't you do that? The Lord asked her, if I give you, how much do you want to give them for their clothes? She said, 40,000, if I'm right. Then the Lord said, if I give you the money, will you give them? Yes. The money came in, 100,000. The plan, God said, I told you 40. Holy Lord. As he released the money, when he started coming again. See, that's how I'm talking about teaching you all of your life. Are you listening? Pastor, I don't hear God. You don't look back. You are hearing. You are hearing. Just don't like the subject. Like that man. Let's give our offering. That man. He was hanging. He was coming down. He was coming from a rock. He was falling down. He was falling. He just grabbed one stick like that. He wanted to fall off. He said, hey! Anybody out there? Hey! And he had a voice. You want help? He said, yes. He said, let go of that stock. He said, anybody else there? Let's give our offering. Don't mind me. I'm like you too. Once in a while. Anybody else? Hallelujah. Father, we thank you.
But this little we are giving as a seed. Thank you for multiplying the harvest back to us. We trust your mighty hand in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One of the marks of growing up is in learning to listen. To listen to people well, to listen to God well, and to just carry on. If anything, I notice as growth in my life today is that I listen to God more, listen to my wife more, listen to people more. It's really, really encouraging. It's really life-changing. You're no longer the boss running everything. One way or another, you get tired after a while running the show by yourself. But God is with us. Amen? Oh, thank you, Lord. Can we just say this to ourselves? I release the Holy Spirit. Say that to yourself. I release the Holy Spirit to do much more in my life. Holy Spirit, I give you permission to teach and to remind, to bring me to a place of instruction. I am not the boss. Jesus is my boss. Jesus is my Lord, and I'm open to him. Jesus, lead me on. Teach me and instruct me by your Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's go home. Are we giving our offering? Let's close. Hallelujah. God is good. Glory to Jesus. I have a God who never fails. I have a God who never fails. I have a God who never fails. He never fails. He never fails forever. All right, next week we're going to the area of peace. How do we have peace in this world we are living today with all the stress around us? How do we live a life of peace? And then, now, something I saw that was really helpful. The very first mandate of God for humanity is be fruitful. And Christ Jesus took time to address fruitfulness in John 15. So when we finish with the peace, we're going to see how to be productive with our lives. That whatever we do, as husbands, as wives, as children, as workers, as members of church, we can be in all this area productive in our lives. Even in retirement, we can be productive. Praise God. We can be fruitful. Hallelujah. All right. Let's get up on our feet. Do you have any announcement? Interesting. You know, usually the best is kept for Tuesday. The cake, if you go through this door, you get some of my cake. Birthday cake. The crowd is too much on Sunday. So usually for Tuesday, you can get hold of the cake. I think best things happen on Tuesday. So let's share the grace and catch on the cake over there. Father, we thank you. Let's share the grace together. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God. Tell yourself, surely, goodness, mercy, follow me. Amen. Now, if you are accosted for eating the cake, it's not my doing, it's my wife's doing. I didn't know about this at all. So please, enjoy the cake. It's available there. No drinks? She didn't do that. Okay. Maybe next time. Thank you so much for coming.